multiple model particle filter glimpsing method. So the key idea over here is we're aiming to separate and also to do joint separation and tracking of moving speakers in a closed setting, and we're using the glimpsing effect where the sources can appear or disappear. By, like they could basically they can turn on and off sporadically with time. So first, I'm going to give an overview of convoluted time invariant mixing. So we have, let's say, two sources, two microphones. Sources are static in a room, and because of the multiple delayed paths from each source to each sensor, the mixing process is done in a convoluted manner because of the reverberation. And our goal over here is to demix these convolutedly mixed signals. However, if we want to do it in the time domain, it could be a complicated problem because of the convolution. So one trick that often researchers use is to transform the data into the Fourier domain by use of the short-time Fourier transform, where the convolution in the time domain translates to multiplication in the frequency domain for a large enough short-time Fourier transform window. So in this case, our H of K is the mixing matrix at frequency bin K. So each bin can be viewed as a different independent component analysis problem. So ICA, independent component analysis, as we know, is indeterminate to permutation. So if ICA is performed in each bin, further post-processing has to be done to correct for possible permutations. Okay, so here we're going to mention that the temporal dynamics of the sources in the time domain is the key to perform source separation in the frequency domain using ICA. And we've shown in our previous papers that it's available online that on our website that basically each frame is sampled from a Gaussian with zero mean and a specific variance. After it's transformed to the the Fourier domain, and that's because of the central limit theorem. So basically, if our signal in the time domain has a varying has a energy envelope that's varying with time, the overall distribution. You have a Gaussian in one frame and you have a different Gaussian with a different variance in another frame. So the overall distribution is of the form of a Gaussian scale mixture, which has a super Gaussian form. So in this paper, we use a fixed Gaussian scale mixture by approximating using a finite mixture of Gaussians. So here we have these mixture of Gaussians. Now these parameters over here are fixed, are learned beforehand, because they all fall into the over, they all fall into the super Gaussian form. So we're not really going to give ourselves headaches and try to estimate these parameters over here. And instead, we're going to focus on other interesting aspects of speech, like the glimpsing effect. So basically, we have this mixture of Gaussian for each of the sources. Because of independence, they're multiplied, the densities are multiplied. So the overall distribution, the joint distribution of the sources also has a mixture of Gaussian form. So in the previous frame, in the previous slide, I talked about how the temporal dynamics is the key to source separation in the frequency domain. Here we're gonna introduce another form of temporal dynamics, and that's the glimpsing effect, in which the sources can basically turn on and off sporadically with time. So, and this is typical of speech where we have silence periods. So in this case, we have three sources and three microphones. So in this time period over here, only the first source is active. So that means that the first column of the mixing matrix is used for the mixing. And so this is done, basically, we're looking at it in each frequency bin. So the first column of the mixing matrix in each frequency bin is used. Now, in this time period now, all three sources are active, so the full the full mixing matrix is used for this for the mixing process. And then let's say the third source becomes silent, and only the first and second columns of the mixing matrix is used. So by glimpsing or listening in the silence gaps, we're able to basically, hopefully, achieve better basically results. So this is also one strategy that the human ear uses to handle adverse situations. So now we're going to move on to the time variant mixing and frequency domain. That's when the sources are moving around. So basically, the mixing matrix varies with time. And here we emphasize that incorporating glimpsing is crucial in time variant online demixing because if the model state is not correct, the estimation diverges or becomes unstable. So just to give some more explanation on that, so later on we're going to basically introduce particle filters, and we're going to use particle filters to simulate the columns of the mixing matrix. So for example, if we're in a case where the third source is silent, so the particles that simulate the third source in this time period are going to diverge or going to drift away to a location that's undesirable to us because basically it's inactive and we don't have any information about it. So when the third source turns back on, basically the particles might have drifted to a faraway location that it's not able to attain track again. So basically, so it's very crucial for time-variant online demixing to incorporate this glimpsing strategy. And also, the problem becomes even more complicated when the sources move while being silent. We call this phenomena silence blind zones, which is similar to Doppler blind zones in radar target tracking. So basically, if the sources are silent and also moving, that's basically the problem even becomes more complicated. And we're going to talk about this later on. So here I'm going to introduce the generative model for the glimpsing strategy we're using here. So we assume that each source can take on two states, either active or inactive. So for a total of m states, there will be a total of for a total of m sources, there will be a total of two to the power of m states. The states can be different for different frequency bins and indicate which source for each frequency bin is present or absent. At each time, the set of active sources is a subset of the set of total number of sources. So for example, state I could be a state that corresponds to a case where a specific number of sources is active. Let's say we have, three sources, and state I corresponds to the case where the first and second one are active, and the third source is silent. So to continue with the generative model, we're going to introduce our observation model over here, the relationship between our observations and our states of interest. So here, for each discrete state I, pertaining to a particular activity pattern, we have our observation is going to be a mixture of Gaussian, and that's because the density of our sources are a mixture of Gaussians. Our observation also becomes a mixture of Gaussians. So for example, if state I corresponds to the case where the first and second column are active, the third column is silent, the third source is silent, so basically HI over here has only the first and second columns, and the third column is not used for this state. So here we're going to introduce our channel model, and that's the evolution of the columns of the mixing matrices. And we use a random walk model, and the reason that we use a random walk model is that because we don't have any prior information of how the channels vary with time from one location in the room to another location. So we have no choice but to use a random walk model, where VM over here is a Gaussian random vector with a diagonal covariance. And also for the discrete states that correspond to the different activity patterns, we have a Markovian property for the transition. And So we have a transitional matrix pi, where each element is pi ij. Pi ij is the probability of going from state I to state j. So here we're going to give basically why we have to use particle filters for this problem. So as we can see in this relationship, in this basically equation, the relationship between our observation and our states h, basically our continuous states h, have a nonlinear, non-Gaussian form. So we cannot use standard, optimal Kalman filtering techniques to track these columns of the mixing matrices. So we have to resort to suboptimal techniques like the particle filtering. So in a particle filter, every state, whether it being continuous or discrete, is represented with a cloud of particles. So if the states are continuous, the cloud of particles are also continuous. If the states are discrete, the cloud of particles are discrete. And we have to use a multiple model particle filter. That's because we have to be able to switch between the different states of activity. So a set of continuous particles is used to represent the mixing matrices, and a set of discrete particles is used to represent the discrete states of activity. So I'm just going to walk you guys through our multiple model particle filter. So basically, we have our continuous states HM that is simulated by HMN, HM superscript N, and these are the particles that basically simulate HM. And we have our discrete states X that are simulated by particles XN, X superscript N. So we initialize these state particles using an initial prior, and we give them uniform weights. So WMN are the weights for HMN, and RN are the weights for XN. We classify the particles to sets corresponding to different activity states. So NI here corresponds to the index of the particle that has state I as its state. So the next step is that we predict the new set of particles by drawing a new set of samples at time t according to state transition described by. So basically, if state I contains column m, we go ahead and update. Make the prediction for a new set of particles. If state I does not contain column m, we just leave it as is. So this is how we avoid the drifting of particles whenever we have silences. And also, by keeping a memory of the silence patterns of the sources based on previous frames, the covariance of the cloud of particles can be increased temporarily. This way, the cloud of particles during the silence blind zones would be large enough to find the track once the sources become active again. So by keeping this buffer, this memory buffer of the previous silence patterns, and increasing the variance for those silence sources, we're able to deal with the silence blind zones. Now, in this step, we update our weights. So basically, this is using we only update the weights which state I contains column M, and if state I excludes column M, we just keep the weights as is. So this is using the standard bootstrap particle filter, and we do the same thing for our discrete, our weights N for our discrete state. Our weights R for our discrete state. And then we normalize our weights, and in order to basically achieve a meaningful probability, and then from there we can obtain the probability of activity from each state, and we also do the same thing for our column weights. From there we can estimate the mixing matrix columns by this weighted average. And if the particles become degenerate, we can resample them. And at the end, once we obtain these estimates of our mixing columns, we can use a minimum mean square error estimator to reconstruct the sources. And then permutation in the frequency bin is corrected using a correlation method on the activity patterns. This is work by Sawada and others from Japan by keeping a memory of the past estimates of the sources in each frequency bin. So so as we move on with our separation process, we are able to achieve better permutation correction. So once the varying mixing matrices are found, the sources' time-varying directions of arrival with respect to the microphone array can be found, and this is work again by Sawada and others from Japan. So if we have another array, we can achieve, let's say, another array in a different position in the room. We can achieve, we can find a different direction of arrival. However, since the sources are separated, we can easily associate each source from one array to another using a simple correlation method, hence eliminating a possibility of a ghost location. So if we have basically the direction of arrivals from the two arrays, the picture on the right, so we have a possibility of two ghost locations. Now, if we have the separation, we can easily associate each source from one array to another, and we avoid this ghost problem. Also, at the end, a multiple model, constant velocity, constant acceleration, kinematic motion model on the spatial dynamics of the sources is implemented using, again, a multiple model particle filtering to track the sources. So this is using another multiple model to track the motion of the sources, the spatial motion of the sources, and this multiple model particle filter is very similar to the one that we use for our separation process. So here we have some of our results. So we have two arrays, one over here, only two microphones, one over here, only two microphones. This is simulated by the image room. Our reverberation time is about 200 milliseconds. We have 1,000 particles for each of the frequency bins. The two sources are moving clockwise, they're kind of chasing each other. Cyan and the magenta are the true trajectories. Blue and red are the estimated trajectories. The total duration of each source was about, on average, 12.5 seconds, being active for only about 5.5 seconds on average. Therefore, we have about 7 seconds of silence blind zones, which makes the problem really intricate. So here I'm going to show you the video of this tracking process. So we have the circle and we have the triangle. Circle is the true trajectory. Triangle is the estimated trajectory. And these shapes turn green. They fill with green whenever the source becomes active. So when the circle turns active, that's the true activity pattern. When the triangle becomes active, that's the estimated activity pattern. As you can see, so we start from an initial, basically, estimation. And the sources, the triangle tries to catch up with the circle. And that's because when it's silent, we don't have it moving around. We don't want it to drift around when it's silent. Okay. So here I'm going to give you, going to show the average position root mean square error of the trajectories comparing our method with an online IV algorithm. As we can see, our method basically does better than online IVA. These spikes over here correspond to the silence period. So when you have silence, we can see it basically throws us off. We have our SDRs over here. And just to conclude, we've used the glimpsing approach to switch between the different combinations of tracks. We showed that it's necessary, and we're able to deal with the silence blind zones. And because the algorithm attempts to separate the sources fully, we don't have the problem of ghosts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Other questions, comments? Do we have questions? Yeah, there is a question. There.
Yeah. There was some work done earlier by Andrew and Doucette, I think in the range of about 2000, that that talked about birth-death processes for such problems in using particle filters. And basically, you can turn sources on or off using this kind of process. And there's been various work that's shown that this has been very, very effective, and it collapses the whole complexity of the problem a great deal. Have you looked at these birth-death process approach to this problem?
Slightly, but not in a great detail.
Well, okay. It's work in progress. It looks like it's would be a very worthwhile process. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion.
Okay. More comments? You only had line of sight, basically, right, in your localization. So you only assume line of sight. There's no double reflections or reflections or other multipath?
No. Just line of sight. The estimation, the DOA estimation problem is basically the estimation algorithm is sufficient to find the directional arrivals. The algorithm does it even with just using direct path.
Only the direct path. Okay. Are there more? Okay. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.